So some of you hopefully have seen that this Sunday is going to be a little bit different, and we're going to reflect on where we've been and what God's been doing to us. If you get our church email newsletter, I sent out a list of all the sermons and things we've discussed over the last several months. For those of you, again, who are new, we started just in October, meeting every week. We're a very young church. In January, we started talking about preparing for what God is going to do in us, and so we looked at ways that God prepares us. In the month of March, leading up to Easter, we talked about our values, and certainly what I want to do is have a dialogue. If you have questions today, this is your chance to ask a question, all right? You ever done that, man? I remember when I was a kid sitting in church, it's like, when do I get to ask questions, right? And sometimes kids are the only ones that ask questions. One of the first times I was preaching, I was probably like 23 years old, and this little kid in the front row said, "What does that mean?" I was like, "All right, good. That's good to know. I need to stop and explain what I'm talking about." And I love that kids sometimes just have that freedom to shout out. And some of you that are kids at heart tend to shout out here some Sundays as well, and you know who you are. Amen. So today, what you can do is that you can text a question or a comment. We want to talk about our church, our values. Okay, going back to our values, which is love all, serve all, and welcome all. We talked about those from the Bible and what they mean. And then we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we looked at what that means. Because there's all these stories about Jesus after he rose from the dead. What he did, what he said, what he taught. And they're amazing stories. We've been looking at those. And right up to Pentecost when God gave the Holy Spirit. So now we're in a season where we're looking ahead too. What's God going to do? Where is he taking us? Where are we going next? So here's how we're going to facilitate it. You're going to be able to text Jen Riley. By the way, if you don't know Jen Riley, there she is. She is our administrative assistant at Harkin City Church. She handles all, practically everything. Everything that I'm not good at and don't like, praise the Lord. She handles, and so anything that looks organized, that is the reason, because, you know, it just is. So she's going to put her number up there, okay, and you're going to text. That's actually not her number. See, she's good. Isn't she good? I mean, already. Yeah, and you stopped the recording. Okay, podcast, I'm sorry. That was Colin Cassidy. Colin Cassidy interrupted my recording of this day by calling me on my phone. Oh, Lord. If this makes the podcast, it'll be a miracle. Whatever. Just be glad you're here today, all right? If you want to write your question down, that's where there's these little blank note cards there. You can write your question or your comment down if you want to share something. If you get a word from the Lord, please write that down, because that's what we're looking for this morning, okay? And we use discernment. We believe in words of knowledge and prophecy, right? But we also believe in discernment, you know, so that we have to evaluate what's being said. Does it line up with Scripture? Are there people that agree with it? Did we say, yes, this is what God is doing? Because you know some words of prophecy are true and right on point. They're exactly what we need to hear. And sometimes people are just spouting off. Can I be real? Sometimes people are just saying things, and they're saying, "The Lord told me this." And I'm like, that's a funny thing, because that doesn't sound like the Lord. Okay, we have to use a little bit of discernment as well. But write that down. If you hold it up, my lovely, handsome assistant with the great name Phil, like mine, will take that card from you. He'll bring it up to Jen. Jen will funnel it to me, and that's how we'll do it. All right? It's a little different, right? You ready to have a little fun? Relax a little bit? A little dialogue, a little open talk? All right. So I will begin with a couple of questions as you guys are texting and writing things down that people already texted me this morning, which is great. And I'm hoping that these questions were ones you wanted me to share. Oh, well, it's too late. This question was great, and I think this question was both just, you know, asking me, but I also think it's a great question to share. How do I know what God's purpose is, and how do I know when I'm being fulfilled and active in what God wants me to do? And I think that's a great question. I think that last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think when you begin to see those things coming out, if there's love or joy or peace or even things like faithfulness and self-control, I mean, when you feel those things starting to change and turn within you, then I think that is a sign that you're moving in the right direction. Because we don't arrive, and you can't wait for it to all be in place, right? Speak to my brothers and sisters that you want everything to be in place. And I know, I feel you. You want it to be secure. You want to know exactly what's going to happen. You're the planners. You're the organizers. You're the ones that keep me in line. But, you know, sometimes we don't get it all right away. And it's okay. It's okay just to step into what we feel God is leading us to do. And when those fruits of the Spirit begin to come out, we know that God is present and that God is at work in those situations, right? And sometimes it's just faith as well. So I always like to say that. Look for where God is already at work. Amen? God is already at work. And talk to somebody about it. Right? But God is already at work. Believe in every one of your lives. Some of you here today think God is not at work in your life. Or you feel distant from God. I want to tell you this morning, you're not. He is there. He's closer than you think. You just haven't been able to recognize him yet. You haven't had a name for it yet. It's been something that you know is there, but sometimes you don't have a name yet for it. You're not sure what it is. But we get to name it by faith and say, that's God moving in your life. And we help give you a language for that when we come to church, you know, and study together and worship together, okay? Amen. Another great question came this morning. Is there anything as a church that we've allowed, is there any way or anything as a church that we've allowed fear to hold us back? And how can we pray and act differently? And I think that's a good question. And I'm going to be honest, that's a question that I'm just sitting with. So, surprise, I'm not going to answer every question this morning. I'm going to let some questions linger for a bit. And that one's lingering with me. Because I wonder, is there any fear that we have? Is there any fear that we have? I think there is. I think there's different fears we have, but how can we pray and act differently? I think that's what today is about too. How can we move forward? You know, how can we move forward beyond the fear that we have? So let you guys think about it. You know, think about that for a minute. Maybe there's some fear in your own life. I mean, because we're together now, so it kind of affects us all, you know? But as a church, that's a good one. I'm going to sit with that one. All right. Do we have anything coming in? And again, just because I sit with a question or don't answer it, that means we're going to keep that question with us for a while. We're going to keep working on it. That's not going to be something that, oh, we don't want to answer that. No, we're just living with that. That means it's a very, very important question. All right. Good question so far. All right. And remember, if you want to make some comments or something, you can as well. Here's a good one. Why do you think people take the Bible so literally? So don't you love the word literally? How everybody's using it these days. They literally do that. And sometimes it's not literally, but they use literally to mean literally. And so that word's scary. I'm afraid of that word, to be honest with you. How do you talk about, you know, taking, because that's going to mean different things to different people. Why do the people take the Bible so literally? I think it's because it's what we have that formed our community. So there's a lot of reverence and respect for it. It came together within 200 to 300 years after Jesus lived. So there's a bit of a gap, but not really that much. And it became the documents that formed Christian communities. You know, it started in the Mediterranean world, that is actually a branch of the church that they called the Coptic Christian Church that went into Egypt and down into parts of Africa. And then the Orthodox Church kind of pushed eastward into Turkey, into Russia, and some of those places. And then the Roman Catholic Church kind of spread westward. And so there was three different kind of movements, but all were formed by these documents that were called the Bible. So there was a lot of respect and a lot of honor and a lot of importance to that. And when that happens, I think that people then they're afraid, you know, to disrespect it or to not take it seriously. So I think people, you know, take it very seriously. I guess that's one aspect of the word literally. I take it seriously, and what it says is what it says. Now that being said, for us, those documents are old. And we need to acknowledge that. And we need to try to understand them. And they're strange. Amen? Can I get an amen? Is it hard to understand some parts of the Bible? There's some strange stuff in there. There's some stuff that sounds great. It's clear, you know, seems straightforward. There's other stuff that seems like, what is going on? What are you talking about? And it takes a little time to figure that out. But that's okay, right? Because if someone, you know, 2,000 years from now is going to read something that Brian and I wrote to each other, they might be like, what are they talking about? You know, it's different culture, different language, different people. And so it takes some interpretation and some study to understand what it says. So if you mean literally, like there's no room for metaphor or imagery, then that's not true. The Bible's full of poetry. It's full of songs. You know, when it says that God wants to like cover his people like with his wings, does that mean God actually has wings? It's possible. I don't know that it's probable that God actually has wings, but maybe God does. But it's a picture, right? It's a symbol of God's protection, of what he's doing in our lives. So I would say at Hartford City Church, and I'm glad for this question because this is a good day for us to kind of talk about who we are, is that I say we take the Bible seriously. Amen. That's the word I like to use. We take it seriously. Okay? When we get to studying it, sometimes literally, sometimes we got to understand it a little bit. Let's talk about what you mean by literally. But we take it seriously. And we take all of the Bible seriously, even the parts we don't understand. And we take it humbly. And that's what I think is so needed. We're going to be a church that's not arrogant about our interpretation of the Bible, but rather confident in the Jesus who is the Word who inspired the Bible, and that He'll help us to understand what it says. Amen? Amen. So let's go on to another one. All right, keep them coming, keep them coming. I like these quick ones. Can we have a baptism in your pool? Amen, let's do it. I don't have a heater in my pool either, though, so we got to let it get warmed up a bit. But yeah, before we sell our house this summer, we should have a baptism in the pool. That would be great. Okay, good, about our values. So again, if you're new, kind of our values that we started out with as a church is love all, serve all, and welcome all, okay? And this question is, what should does serve all mean or encompass? And that's a great question. So I go back to the message that we preached on it, and my starting point was Jesus washing the feet of Peter, but also of Judas. So washing the feet of someone that was going to betray him. So if we start there, then we realize that we really don't get to pick and choose who we should serve, but we're called to serve those that we're called to serve, right? And serving doesn't mean that I agree with you. It doesn't mean that I approve of everything you do, because I don't agree with all of you sitting here. And I don't approve of everything you do. And you don't approve of everything I do. And that's not what it's about, okay? What it's about is that if you have a need, I should help you. If I have a need, you should help me, right? If there's something that we can do to bring us together in love, then we should do it. That's what we're called to do. That's the only thing we're called to do. I mean, that's the only choice that we have. Jesus told us to love our enemies. And everything in us wants to fight back, right? That's our natural response. But you just gotta love, even when it's hard. And we just, I think it means that we encompass, when people are in need, we if we have the ability and the means, we meet that need. You know? And if we don't, then we seriously in love reach out to them and give them whatever we have to offer, right? Right. In a couple weeks, I'm going to preach on Peter and John in the book of Acts, okay? And Peter and John are walking to the temple, right? They're walking to church, and there's this beggar, and he's wanting money, and they're like, I don't have any money, right? And we all know that story. Come on. I lived it 5 times in Hartford this week. Somebody asking me for money, and I carry no cash because I don't have it to give. Maybe sometimes I do, but I've often said, I don't got anything, brother. I don't have anything right now. And Peter and John are the same way. They must have not been able to stop at whatever bank they had back then. They had no money on them. They had nothing to give at that moment because I don't think they were lying. I don't think they were being tricky. They were just saying, honestly, man, we don't have anything to give you. But what did they do? Who knows the story? They said, but what I do have is this. Let me pray for you. And in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And if we were the kind of church that operated in that kind of power, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be amazing? We may not have a lot of money. We may not have the right program. We may not have the answer. We may not even be sure how we can best help somebody. But if we just pray for them in the power of the Holy Spirit and make ourselves available and give what we have, right? You help someone as you're able, not as you're not. And you do what you can do. And then you trust that God is also going to help you, right? Amen? Send people to help and serve you. So that's good. That's a little bit of thoughts about that. What do prophetic giftings look like? What are you actively doing to empower those prophetic gifts in the church? I think prophecy is speaking God's truth, speaking the word of God to people. I think prophecy is being able to discern where God is working. It's a concern for justice, for what's right, and for what's not right, and speaking the truth about it, how God feels about that. The prophets of old often called people to live the right way and to stop abusing and oppressing other people. In the church, I believe that, like I said, sometimes it's words from the Lord. that people hear. Sometimes it's just a discernment process where people with the gifts of prophecy need to speak the truth that we need to hear. So we're going to try to encourage that by encouraging you to explore the gifts that God has given you. And each and every one of you, God has given gifts to. And God continues to give you gifts. Amen. Did you know that? I grew up in a church where it's like, you got to find out what your gift is. My gift. Like, I was given this gift when I was a child, and it's my gift, and that's it. And then I began to discover God likes to give gifts. It wasn't a one-time gift. He's constantly giving me gifts. And sometimes as I get older, there's new gifts that he's giving me, right? And it's not like you just have one and you got to figure it out. It's like, seek the gifts that God has given you. And again, you may already be using them and not even aware of it, right? So for whoever wrote that question, today is the day we're going to do it. Because when we wrap up this time, we're going to pray in listening prayer that God would speak to us. And that if we heard God speaking to us, we would be able to know and follow his voice and his direction. So we're actually going to do some of that today. So, encouraging you through exhortation, through friendship, through getting together to seek out what gifts God has given you. All right. We are going to start, I know some of you come from church, some of you don't. We are going to start some life groups, some Bible studies and group gatherings. And a bunch of those are going to be starting in the next few weeks, and you'll hear some more things about them. So there'll be opportunities if you've been looking for something to get together during the week. And in those groups, you might also have an opportunity to explore together the prophetic gifting, and within the context of that group, learn how to use that and how to develop that gift. Okay, so let's continue on this line of thought for a minute. This is actually great. What do I do if I feel like I received a word from the Lord years ago and he never brought it to fruition? Okay, now that's real, right? So we're talking about these prophetic words. Now we're getting real. What about when you feel like that God's giving you a word, something's going to happen, and he's never brought it to fruition? That, friends, is tough. That's tough because what you feel is so real, what you experience, and to feel like years and years pass and nothing is coming out of that, that's tough. And believe me, understand that what I say today is intended just to help you think about it. I'm not trying to pretend, well, here's the answer, snap, snap, and you do it. You know, I understand that. I think that God is the one. They say, you know, we plant seeds, we water seeds, but God causes it to grow. And there's a sense in which we trust in the movement of God, which may take longer than we thought. And I know that sounds glib to say it may take a little while to do it, but we're so impatient as people. You know? I mean, God did things that sometimes took 40 or 50 years to accomplish. There were some things God did that took 400 years to accomplish. Amen. So what if, like, God has got this 400-year plan for us, and we're just in year 302? That's a frustrating place to be, isn't it? Right? I mean, God had a plan to get his people out of slavery in Egypt, but they were there for hundreds of years. So what about the person in year 200 that received a word from the Lord, "You will be free"? But they were only in year 200. So they live their 80, 90 years and they don't see the word of the Lord come to fruition. The Bible says that there's a great promise and hope for those people in the resurrection. That they will be able to see in the resurrection and in the life after the promises of God fulfilled and how they were accomplished in his life. And I know that brings almost zero comfort to someone who's frustrated. I understand that completely, you know? That's like when I was a kid, and I'm like, oh man, why can't I get a girlfriend? And the older people would be like, it will happen for you someday. Yeah, great, thanks, you know, you old 25-year-old. You know, I just, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I understand that. It's frustrating. And on deeper and more meaningful levels, it's even more frustrating. Oh God, but we pray for patience and endurance and an ability to be faithful even if we don't see it. And the toughest part is to be faithful in a small, unpopular, unnoticed, seemingly insignificant, unspectacular way, but every day you're faithful. Every day you're faithful to what God has told you. And you trust that He's going to do what He's going to do, whether you see it or not. And that's hard. But it's also the beauty of the secret life of faith, that we keep being faithful. We keep being faithful, even if we don't see the results or see what happens. Back to our values again. How are we doing, and which ones do we need to get better on? I feel like, and again, I want to reflect and celebrate this morning too. Most people, and you know, that have spoken to me about coming and visiting this church, and amen, I hope the same is true for you, say they feel a presence of love and acceptance here. Amen. They feel a peace when they walk in. They know that they won't be judged, you know. One of the guys who came to faith, Bernard, was here just for a little while, you know. He was homeless. He was looking for a job. He said he was so scared to walk into this church. But the minute he sat down, he knew he wouldn't be judged. And he gave his life to Christ. And we talked for a bit. And then, of course, you know, he found work in another state, moved on, you know. So he wasn't here very long. But I was glad to hear that. I was glad to hear. I think we're doing well at loving each other, serving each other, welcoming each other. I think we can do more, probably, in serving each other, to be honest with you. I think that's part of our vision and our goal, and I think that's where we want to go next, and we need people to help us, and we need to come together about it. It goes along with this question: do you have any plans to start or participate in any social justice ministries in our community? And the answer is yes. We want to be involved in this community. We want to make a difference in this community. We want to be a presence of hope and peace and love, and we need to do that. Right, so we got to do a better job of saying, I can't just come here on Sunday mornings. I got to be willing to come at other times. So a few of us went out a few Saturdays ago, and we helped with the neighborhood cleanup, and we walked up and down the streets and picked up trash, and you know, we're trying to participate in what the NRZ in the South End was doing, you know. But again, I know how it is. You get the email, you get the notice, and you're like, oh, I should do that, but it's Saturday, and oh man, and all this thing, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, but if we're going to be serious, we got to be serious, right? We got to take the opportunities that we have to serve. Joyce, if you don't know Joyce, Joyce can wait. She introduced the service. She's our pastoral intern for community engagement. Those are things that she's working on. You can talk to her more about it, but she's the one that's just praying and looking at ways we can connect with the community, with organizations. I've been invited to meet with an advisory council from Trinity College that runs this ice skating rink over there. How many of you knew there was an ice skating rink a couple blocks away? How many of you did not know there was an ice skating rink this close to you? Amen. Now you know. Okay? And they're trying to get the community more involved in it. So again, a few of us, they wanted to have a youth night. They said, we want to have this youth night, invite youth from this neighborhood to come and go ice skating. And I thought, that sounds crazy, but that sounds cool. And they said, the only problem is we can't find enough volunteers that want to watch these teenagers skate. I'm like, we can provide volunteers. And again, a few of us came out. I understand everybody's busy. A few of us came out, and just a few kids came. And I'm like, oh man, this program needs some help. And I'm not being mean to them, because they said the same thing to me. They're like, we need some help. Come and join us. Come and talk to us. How can we do this even better? So I'm excited that we're starting to get to know them and work with them. Many of you have met Sherelle. Sherelle, raise your hand. Sherelle's our children's ministry director. Yes, and Sherelle lives right across the street. And Sherelle moved there after the church started. And Sherelle's getting to know this neighborhood and getting to know the people around. And so if you live in this neighborhood, if you live around here, we want you to step up. We invite you to step up and to help us understand what's going on. If you live in Hartford, help us to understand, make us aware of things so that we can together become to get more involved. So the answer is yes, yes, and yes. We can do better in serving all. And we can do better by not just waiting for people to come to us, but by getting out there. And we're looking for opportunities and more opportunities to get out and to do that, okay? So, your next big opportunity, you ready? Everybody take your notes. July 12th, the Hartford Project, which I've been a part of for many years, we're going to host a Love Wins event that night. And Love Wins is this family, and we want you guys to come out. And our church is co-sponsoring it with House of Praise and Worship and South Church. So, that's going to be Tuesday night. It's games and stuff. 1,500 to 2,000 people show up to these events. So we could have crews of you there. You could serve all by making snow cones. Amen? That's my kind of service. Actually, my kind of service is receiving the snow cone. But I'll make the snow cones too, all right? And all kinds of different ways that we can be involved. Giving away clothes, giving away food, just meeting people, just getting to know people, just building relationships, right? Sometimes we forget how important relationships are. We went out, we were walking around handing out flyers when we first started this thing, right? Because last summer, we're like, we're going to get started, we're just going to walk around and hand out flyers, you know? And here's Joyce and I just walking around handing out flyers. I'm like, we're just two crazy people just walking the streets, handing out flyers about this church that doesn't exist yet, you know? I'm trying to tell people. And then we ran into these people that wanted to talk. And I remember this guy talking to me, and he's like, we're talking about Hartford, problems in Hartford needs. And he's like, you know what? He's like, sometimes people just need someone to listen to their story. Amen. And I was like, man, who couldn't do that? Who couldn't sit down and listen to someone's story? I was like, man, you're right. You're right. Let's listen, right? So we sat and we listened to their stories, you know? Because sometimes that's what's needed. So yes, yes, and yes. Be praying for that. Be praying with us for that. How we can get more involved in the community and work for social justice. Let me say a word about that, amen. There's difficulties when you get into politics, amen. And there's, I'm glad nobody asked that question, who are you going to vote for? Because I will not answer that question this morning. Because, you know, we get into the politics of things, and we're going to have to be real. We have to understand there's a lot of different opinions here. There's a lot of different viewpoints, right? But when we talk about justice, we're going to talk about God's justice and God's kingdom. And we're going to focus on that and let that be our guide, okay? And where God takes us, He'll take us. And we'll be willing to do what God wants us to do, right? We're not going to be afraid. But I don't want us to get sidetracked, amen, by just becoming about a particular issue, you know, for politics' sake. We really want to bring help to those who need help and justice to those who need justice. And we want to do what we can. So I just wanted to say a quick word about that. So this is a good one. It says, I'm ill and I've been for some time. I'm tired of giving it to the Lord. I've tried giving it to the Lord and being positive and productive. But how do you know if you should keep searching doctors out for answers or leave it with the Lord and stop going to specialists? I'll tell you what I believe. And for some of you who don't know me, I was a youth pastor for 25 years. I was in youth ministry. Lived in many different states. Grew up in Colorado. Lived in San Diego, Seattle, Ohio, and then moved here to Connecticut 14 years ago. And so Connecticut's been my longest stay, except for Colorado. That's because I was a kid. And in the process of this ministry, I've been in a lot of churches that have counseling ministries. I've seen a lot of different beliefs about prayer and healing ministries and counseling ministries and medical health professionals. And I just feel like I've dealt a lot of that with families with teenagers, especially that are going through problems or difficulties, whether they be physical, yes, or emotional, or behavioral, or things like that. And I feel like the best thing I learned was that we are holistic, right? We are emotional and spiritual and physical. And I feel like I would say, search it all out. Sometimes I think people are stuck because they neglected one. So if you tried everything medically, and you've been working on everything you need to work on, maybe there is a spiritual component. Maybe you should invite people to come and pray for you. Amen. You know? And if you've been praying and praying and praying, maybe it's time to go see a doctor or a specialist, you know? So I think it's both. I think you really need to keep a good rhythm of both things going on so that you're making yourself available of everything. And I want to believe God has created it all, right? God has given us our knowledge, our skills, and things. God heals through doctors. God heals miraculously. God sometimes doesn't heal, but gives us the strength to endure it for some reason. All right? And that's what happens sometimes. And I think you got to do it. I just think God will guide as we just make ourselves available and say, I just need to keep trying, you know, different avenues. So I would say at this point, don't give up on either. You know, don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on seeking out people that might have the knowledge that's needed to help you. And hopefully through both, God will give you either a healing or God will give you a supernatural strength during this time to endure, you know, what you have to endure. This is a good question. Christians to the church seems to have many strong opinions about divorce. What are legitimate reasons for divorce? Are you allowed to get married again? What circumstances are you not? That's good. That's a good question. We're a new church. Some of you have been to other churches. Some of you have never been to church. You kind of want to know what church is about, right? And I want to say that too. If you, especially if you're new to church and you have any questions about why we do what we do, please let me know. But you can today or whenever, you know, write those down. But divorce. The Bible has strong things to, what does it say? The church seems to have strong opinions about divorce. You know, God created, going back to Genesis, a man and a woman to be together so that they could support each other, take care of each other, but together be in charge of this world, together kind of rule this world. And I think God said it's not good for a man to be alone. He said that you need companionship, you need someone. And that's what he created. And we know sin entered the world, so we know that things aren't perfect anymore and that things are broken and that things get broken because God gave us free will. Amen. He created us in love with all this potential, but he gave us free will. And like a child, he knew that we could choose to say no to him, and we did. They said no to God, and we've been saying no to God ever since. And we suffer the consequences of when we say no to God. And in a fallen and broken world, you need to have things in place to protect people. So the Bible, Moses was talked about, Jesus talked about it. God didn't want people to get divorced, but he knew there were situations where people needed help. In fact, the reason he allowed for divorce in the ancient times was because a man could abandon his wife and leave her with nothing. And in those societies where women were looked down upon and had no potentials, that was as good as leaving her for dead. Did you understand that's the reason God allowed divorce? So you could actually protect the woman by saying, if you're going to do this, then there's going to be a certain way that you do it. That is a way that protects and brings justice so that someone is not just thrown away and discarded. See, we forget that part of the story, right? We forget that part of the story. And God said, listen, I understand we had to do that because there's sin in the world. And because some of you are so stubborn and so hard-hearted that you've made your decision and nobody's going to change your mind. So at least we're going to put a system in place that protects the person, right? And don't we do similar things today, even in our justice system? Don't we have things like child support and we have, you know, custody things? And we do. We have laws that are intended to make it so that people are cared for, right? So that nobody's left abandoned or on their own. Again, that's imperfect. We're all imperfect. It's hard. I don't think God ever intended for that kind of thing to happen, for a marriage to be broken apart, for a marriage to be dissolved, for a marriage to have divorce. But it does happen because we live in a fallen and broken world. And then Jesus said, if you get divorced for any other reason except unfaithfulness, you shouldn't get remarried. Now, unfaithfulness could be a broad term, right? There could be a lot of things you do that are called unfaithful, from the obvious to the not so obvious, right? And so some people said, oh, that's my ticket. That's my ticket out. You were unfaithful. The Bible says I can get a divorce. Again, that doesn't really honor the spirit of the Bible. It doesn't honor the spirit of what God wants to do. And I don't think Jesus was saying that. And then other churches will say, well, the Bible says God hates divorce. And they'll say, yes. And did you read the next verse? He also hates a man who clothes himself with violence. So if there's an abusive relationship, come on, let's read the whole scripture. Yeah, God hates divorce, but he hates the violence that's happening in your home as well. And I know in my heart that God doesn't want someone abused or in danger. So whatever form that takes, that's between you and God. Separate, divorce, whatever systems are available to you, whatever you in your heart feel is the right thing to do, then you got to do that. Especially if you have kids, right? For you and your kids. So I believe that as well. Again, every situation is so unique, and there's always a story in each situation. And all we can do is call ourselves to, as much as we can with God's help, live the way he wants us to live. And the way he wants us to live is to be committed, a man and a woman to be committed together to each other for the rest of their lives. And God, and to be honest with you, I don't think that God cares as much about a piece of paper. He never seemed to. As he did about actually living it out, about actually being true, right? So if there's people that just kind of, oh, we stayed married, but you were miserable to each other for your whole life and miserable to everyone around you, you know, that's not what God wanted either. It's not a legalistic thing. He wants you to live and to flourish, to be in love, to enjoy each other, right? And then the question might be, well, what about single people, right? We live in another culture. A lot of you guys are single. A lot of places, like, does that mean you have to get married? No, I don't believe it does. I believe two of the greatest examples we follow in the Bible, Jesus and Paul, were never married. So we got two. We got role models for us and teachers that were not married that tell us, you know, you don't have to. But we do need companionship. We do need to live life together. And so as a single person, other churches act like marriage, right? Can we get real for a moment? Whoops, I'll take that off the podcast. You got to get real for a moment. They say, oh, you got to get married. That's the most important thing. You're not fulfilled till you're married, you know? And no, you're fulfilled when you're full of the Spirit of Christ, you know? And you're following Him. And Christ, you know, hopefully will give you the desires of your heart that you'll find that. But if you're single for whatever reason, you know, God blesses that. You're no less of a person. You know, you're welcome. But you do need companionship. You need friendship. You need to live life together with people, you know? And that's the important thing. And I know many, many friends who are single who are living their life together, you know, in a way that's really honoring God and bringing forth a lot of good things. Right. Amen. And I think that that's so good, right? And I'm so glad we have a church that's just so diverse that way, you know, because everybody's different. Everybody's got a different story, you know. So you're right. The churches have a lot of opinion about divorce. My opinion is it's not something that God wants. It's something that God allowed for certain reasons at certain times, but it's not what He wants. And for me, I think it should be, you know, a last resort. But I understand the world is complex and different. And I know that God will bring healing and restoration to whatever situation, you know? And that whatever's happened in the past is the past. And God calls us to move forward in the future, right? And ultimately, that's all we can do, right? Right? Heard about a guy recently. He's been married 5 times. You could go back and look at those 4 failed marriages and try to figure out what went wrong. I mean, you can't do anything, you know? You got to focus on what you have now and try to move forward in a positive direction. And that's what I tell people who are dealing with that, come out of it. You know, give your pain and your hurt to the Lord. Understand, you know, you may have made mistakes, you may have done the right thing, but where is God calling you towards? You know, what are you moving towards? How can we move towards that? And we will be a church, you know, that will fight for marriages, for families, for relationships, and for you in whatever relationship you're in, whatever kind of situation you're in, because we want to support you and stand up for you and believe in you. You know, whether you're single or married or divorced or separated or whatever. You know, we do want to help each other through this. Oh man, there's so many good questions. So, and I'm gonna take all of these too, and you know, we'll put them out there in different forms and different ways. How do I know if the big decisions I make, like changing jobs, is my will or God's will? Okay, let me say something quick about that. God's will is much bigger than you think. Okay, God's will is much bigger than you think, because somebody somewhere told us, God's got this plan, and it's this very narrow plan because there's one person I'm going to marry, and if I don't make it to that one person, I'm missing it. And there's one job that I've got to have, and there's one school that I've got to go to, and I just want to know, and I understand it. Just God, tell me which to do. And then some people get stuck because they're like, I just don't know what. Okay, in the Garden of Eden, there were how many trees? Anybody know? A lot, thank you. That's the correct answer. That is the actual correct answer. There were a lot of trees that had fruit, that had food that they could eat from. How many were they not allowed to eat from?
One.
You got it. How many did that leave over?
A lot.
Okay? So we, in our minds, reverse it. We think, well, God only has one thing He wants me to do, and all of these other things He doesn't want me to do. What if it's more like God intended? What if there's 5 or 6 jobs that would be just fine in God's mind? God's like, you know, whichever job you choose, why do you think God made so many different kinds of food? Because He wants to give us a choice. He wants us to enjoy it, right? We have the freedom of choice. And it's no freedom if there's really just one choice God wants us to make, and He's going to slap our hand if we don't make it. That's no choice. That's like guiding an animal to the right thing, you know? God's will, I think, is more open. You know, God says there's many. Now, there are certainly things that I don't want you to do, okay? There are things that would be outside of God's will. But what if God's will is more like an orchard of possibilities? And there's really just a few things you need to stay away from. Wouldn't that be a beautiful world to live in? And what if you just say, God, help me to stay away from these few things that I need to stay away from. And help me to really enjoy and not stress about it. I hope that frees somebody up today. I feel like it might be. I feel like that might be freeing somebody up. That's like, which one do I choose? God's saying, go ahead, pick, my brother, my son, my daughter, just pick. Just pick. They're both good. They're both really good. They both taste really good. I'm going to use you in one way or the other. And you're going to enjoy both. So just pick one and go for it. You know? And those times when you come up to something you know in your gut, you're like, oh, that's bad news. That's a bad tree. That is definitely a tree I need to stay away from. Then go ahead and stay away from it. And I think you'll know it. So that's one of my thoughts on God's will. What's the best way to start reading the Bible for someone who's never read it before? I think we're trying different things here, and I'm trying to explore different things. We have this little book called The Message, and I've actually got some. You can take some today if you want it. And it's a translation of the book of John. It's kind of an everyday language. And I've actually met with a couple guys who don't read the Bible, and we started going through that. So for them, it's working. So I'll offer you that. You know, we're kind of reading it together, talking about it, trying to understand it in an everyday language. That's one thing you can do. Some people like listening to things. If you're a person who likes to listen to the radio when you drive or listen to books on tape, you might want to listen to the Bible. I think that's a great way. There's some great speakers and great, you know, dramatists and orators that, you know, read the Bible. And I love it. I mean, I got for Father's Day years ago, Johnny Cash reading the New Testament. I'm like, oh, I love that. Listen to Johnny Cash's voice just reading the New Testament. And sometimes I'll put that on and just listen to that passage and like, ooh, I feel so cool because Johnny Cash is reading the Bible. I don't know. That could be another way. So translations that make sense to you, reading it with other people, and listening to it on tape or audio might be that. All right, let's see. Let's kind of wrap this up and go into a little bit of prayer time. And again, I will take all of these with me. And if you want to email me, and so that I can answer you personally, since there are no names on this, that's fine. Otherwise, I might take some of these and I'll write little blurbs in the email newsletter, or maybe I'll do like an extra podcast as well. I'm just going to take some of these questions and answer them. All right, so let me get through to. Let's do this one as we enter into a prayer time. How do you know when God is speaking to you? How do you discern between God's voice and your own imagination? And that's what I want to do right now. I want to go into a time of prayer where we're listening to God. And so let me guide us into that with that question. I believe that God wants to speak to us. I believe that God speaks to us through the Bible, through His Word, through each other, through the creation that He's created, and then directly to us as well. I believe that God speaks to us sometimes by giving us a picture or an image of something when we're praying, and we're intended to pray about that. I believe sometimes we get an idea or something in our head, and we think it's from God. And we say, how do I know? How do I know that it's not just myself, my own imagination? How do I know that I'm not making this up? Well, that's where faith comes in. This is a faith exercise, okay? Because what happens is that we need to grow in our understanding and our ability of this, okay? So how many of you heard the story of Moses? It's like another famous Bible story. And there was Moses in the burning bush, right? And in this burning bush, God spoke to Moses, right? And God heard Moses' voice. And he was like, oh man, this is like, woo, holy ground. And he took off his sandals and he's sitting there. Okay, and he heard this voice. And in our common imagination, we think, okay, for all of these years, Moses is walking around with his sheep, okay, around this mountain. And then one day, the bush started to burn. And God's voice spoke to him and it caught him, right? And so we're kind of waiting for that to happen. We're kind of waiting for this moment when, boom, all of a sudden I hear this voice, okay? And let's be honest, some people hear voices and it's an illness. It's not God's voice. You got to really talk it through with someone and try to, this is what I'm hearing. Is what I'm hearing from God, or is there something else going on? But I don't know that it was necessarily like that, right? Because God is present all the time, right? I believe God is speaking all the time. I believe God is rejoicing over us with singing. The world was created by God speaking. And his voice might even sound like a song. And I feel like all new things that are being created, God's voice is there, right? Every new birth, every new life, every time the seasons change, God's voice is heard in the wind and in the waves and in places where we can't hear it. God is speaking. And what if that bush was always burning? What if it was always burning? And every day God would say, Moses, Moses. And finally one day, Moses stopped long enough to hear that voice that had been speaking to him from the time he was born. What I want us to do is take a moment today to stop and listen for the voice that's been speaking to you from the time you were born. And if you wonder, is this me or is this God? Well, wouldn't God speak to you in a way that you could understand? Didn't he become one of us to show us the way to heaven? And I'll tell you what my mentor told me in this. She said, just take a step of faith and believe that it was God and see what happens. Because if it wasn't God, you'll find out. Amen. She's like, if it wasn't God, believe me, God will let you know. You will find out. You will step out on that word and it will not work. And something will happen and you will find out and you'll be like, God, I am sorry, right? That slap in the face, right? That we know we need from God sometimes. It's like, boom, oh, okay, God, that was me. That wasn't you. But you step out in faith and you just see what happens. So I'm trying it out. I'm driving. I'm thinking about this. I'm driving in my car. This is when we lived in Washington State. And God's like, go pray with this woman. I'm like, she was the mother of my friend, and they worked together in family business. They're like, go pray for her. And I'm like, was that God or was that just me? I don't know. What if I go there and I say it's embarrassing and she's not there? You know, what if it's like, and then I heard that, just step out in faith, step out in faith, step out in faith. So I did. Pulled into the driveway, came in, everybody was there. Oh, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I was like, funny thing. No, it's going to sound weird. I'm driving along. Folk, I told me I should stop and pray for you. And she said, oh man, she's like, it was either that morning or the day before she got a medical diagnosis that they hadn't shared yet with anyone in the family. And she said, I was just thinking we need to pray about this. And so we prayed. I was like, wow, it worked. I just did faith. I kind of, because it was a good thing. It's always good to pray with someone, right? It was a friend that I knew. You know, I mean, there was a lot of things to commend the idea. And then I stepped out in faith and said, yeah, this is God. This is God. So let's pray together, shall we? I'm going to ask my friend Paul to come up and play a little music for us. Paul, you can choose your instrument, the guitar or the piano. So there's actually, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but there's a biblical basis for music allowing the word of the Lord to come out. So just know that, okay? Music actually is used by God to bring the word out. So he's going to choose the guitar. He's going to choose the piano, all right? And we're going to go into prayer together. And what I want you to do is simply just close your eyes, get in a comfortable position, just relax, take a deep breath. And I just want you to, prayer is just conversation with God. And again, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're not a Christian, if this is your first time in church, God loves you. And all you're going to do is just speak a few simple words. Maybe just say thank you. Maybe just say, God, speak to me. Maybe say, God, help my mom, help my dad, whatever's on your heart. Just simple conversation. Just say some simple things to God to begin. Thank you. got some other thoughts going on, I invite you now just to be silent in your heart and mind and to listen. And it begins very simply with just this little prayer. Just say, God, speak to me. Just say, God, speak to me, and then be quiet and listen. And see what comes to your mind.